Two peas in a bong. Two peas in a bong. Two peas in a bong.
Two peas in a bong.
Two peas and a bong.
Y'all, two peas in a bong in the building again. It's your boy DP.
It's your boy KP.
And an unnecessarily stressed out Bong. Good evening.
What's going on, Bong?
Did that Cowboys game earlier have anything to do with it?
Absolutely. Golly. These motherfuckers, man. They're not even a topic today. And I hate bringing these motherfuckers up, but we record on Sundays, and the Cowboys' silly asses normally play on Sundays. I can't even watch a motherfucking game in peace.
It was the Battle of Texas, man.
I don't give a damn.
Oh, hell no.
It was supposed to be intense.
I don't give a damn.
No. I don't. That shouldn't even be considered the Battle of Texas.
It shouldn't.
Texas only had one win.
It shouldn't even have been that close.
Not at all.
Like, wow, they had me stressed. I'm sitting in the house like, man, you know what? Don't even start getting mad. Because, you know, they be fucking up my Sundays, man. I'll be grumpy the rest of the day. So when they finally pulled it out, I just, you know, it was just a sigh of relief, because I know sports media, American sports media, will spend the whole week.
Oh, they waiting.
Talking about our demise.
They waiting for the weekly downfall.
Hey, I sent a text to a couple people saying, man, American sports writers had they stories lined up from Monday through Friday. They had them
right
back to back. Oh man, Jerry Jones, you know how the shit go, man. But you know it's gonna tell.
They could have used Odell.
Exactly.
They could have used Odell in his current state. Exactly. Even if he's not fully healthy. Look at that shit.
They need to use Pollard more and stop running Zeke. He looks old.
Dak out of there.
Bring back the rush.
The Texans have like the worst rushing defense. They're terrible against the run.
The Texans have the worst team. Those niggas have one win.
They're terrible against the run.
What more can I say? And those motherfuckers had one win.
And the Cowboys didn't really do a great job of running on them.
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It. Yeah.
I'm hot.
They didn't do a good job of anything.
I do player props. Like they're like parlays or whatever, but you just use, instead of betting on games, you bet on like what the players will do. And I had probably like three props that everybody else hit, and the only people that didn't hit was I needed CD Lamb to catch for at least 70 yards, and I needed Tony Pollard to run for 69 yards, and neither one of them did that. Like literally wow. Blew up my like. I think I had like three or four parlays that would have came out to about, if I'd have won all of them, probably $1,000. And my own fucking team shit on me.
Fucking up the Christmas money.
Not the Christmas money, the church's money. Hey, fucking up the church's money. Goodness gracious.
Oh, no. Shit.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Gambling the collection plate money.
Man, listen. Oh, man. Oh shit. I might have to walk this week. That's my gas money. But nah, man. It's all fun, man. I don't, you know.
Hey, and people, then that nigga Diggs need to be on the next version of Who Got Moss. Nigga got Moss by his own teammate for the interception at the end of the game.
And was salty about it. He was salty about it.
Right.
But anyways, we ain't gonna bore y'all with the Cowboys talk, man. We could do that shit all night. But DP, well, what's on the menu today, sir?
Football. Still sticking with football. A former Cowboy. Number 21, Ezekiel Elliott, probably didn't live up to your expectations in today's game. But we got another number 21 who used to play for the Cowboys. Prime Time, Neon Deion. Deion Sanders is past his playing days, but he's still making headlines in the sport of football. We've had a couple episodes, as we were talking before we hopped on here, we had a couple episodes where we talked about Deion Sanders becoming the coach of Jackson State University, their football team. So we spoke on this before and what his impact would be with that program. Would it be a long-term move? Should other black coaches and former players, you know, with some some sort of background that would lead to people believing in them and that they can build a program, should they follow in his footsteps and do the same thing? You have some folks over there, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it, but like Eddie George is coaching in the SWAC as well. So there's some other former football players who are playing there. Are they Deion?
Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson's there.
Is that Grambling State?
Yeah, so you got some folks who are there. So again, you know, we talked about this before, but now, as it stands today, Deion Sanders is no longer the head coach of Jackson State University.
Say what?
And the only person that saw it coming was Eddie Robinson Jr. He ain't swack.
This nigga ain't swack.
If I ain't swack, then who is? And he had no relation to Eddie Robinson, the former coach of the Grambling State Tigers. He is not his son, but you are right. He did call Deion out with the. It was sort of who was that? Where Jim Harbaugh gave the heavy handshake?
Who was that? Coach for the Detroit Stanford Lions at the time.
It was you talking about the NFL joint? I thought you were talking about when he was in.
No, not that one with Pete Carroll. No.
I know which one you're talking about.
That shit was funny too.
Jim Sport. Was thinking about Jim Sport.
Yeah.
Yes. And Harbaugh's like, I just shook his hand too hard. He kind of shook his head and pushed
the heavy hand. Well, back to Deion, man. So he's gone. Hopped on the Buffalo on to Colorado. And now he is the head coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. So, I mean, let's just kind of jump into it, man. I want to know what y'all think about his impact on Jackson State. Him being there, did he live up to expectations? Did he exceed them? Did he do all he was supposed to do? All that kind of stuff. And then how do you feel about him?
Hold on, DP. You gotta parse it out. You gotta give us the question in sections, because Kev is gonna give you the whole. He gonna give you all the literature.
I got a question. When we're looking at this, are we judging Deion on being a part of the culture? Are we judging Deion or making a business decision?
Hold on.
Okay, pause. Okay. Let me grab the buffalo by the horns, okay? before this shit get out of control. All right, let's start here, baby. So Deion's impact on the SWAC and Jackson State. What do you guys think about that starting there?
Well, I believe Deion had a positive impact on HBCUs in general. Then you talk about Jackson State individually. There can be no doubt in anyone's mind that Deion impacted the program positively. He brought eyes to Jackson State that would have never made their way down to Mississippi, right? He brought ESPN College Game Day to the SWAC. You dig? Hold on, man. Mm-hmm. He brought ESPN College Game Day. That is the premier college program on ESPN, the biggest sports reporting and casting network in the world, to Jackson, Mississippi, with Lee Corso and all those dudes up there, the and Desmond Howard. Come on, man.
So Kirk Herbstreit.
No, I think Kirk is with Kirk is in the NFL now. Is he still doing that?
Yeah,
he's still doing college game.
Oh, my bad.
I don't think he is.
Yeah, I think Kirk Herbstreit is doing Thursday.
He took his talents to Prime Video.
Yeah, football, Thursday night football. He's doing Thursday night football. So, but either way, he brought the big boys to Jackson, Mississippi, to go see Jackson State. That's huge, right? I didn't even realize. I don't know if he hopped on board because Deion was there, but I think Mo Williams from the Cavs
absolutely
is the head
left Alabama State, left Alabama State, and went
to Jackson State to go coach basketball over there.
Yes, he did. That's true.
You know, all that being said, I don't think anybody would be putting eyes on Jackson State if it wasn't for Deion. And they are like, you know, in 3 years that he's been there, they have like become one of the biggest HBCU football programs out there. Like before that, everybody knew Grambling. You know, it was like Grambling States and Southern and the Bayou Classic or whatever. And no one really knew Southern like that. They knew Grambling State because of Eddie Robinson. You know what I'm saying? So the iconic football coach. But nobody really talked about HBCU football like that. So Deion did something that I don't think anybody else could have done. As if we're talking about impact on Jackson State and impact on HBCUs, I'll turn it over to you, Kev. That's just me staying on just on impact alone. Boom.
Let's start with his record. 27-5, 12-0 this year. So we'll start with that alone. Undefeated. SWAC champions. 2 years in a row. Jackson State. I believe Deion turned a five-star recruit and had him come to Jackson State to play for him. I also believe that Deion was getting players NIL deals at Jackson State, which was, again, SWAC school, something unheard of. People throw that NIL money out like everybody's getting it. Everybody's not getting NIL money. Only a select few are getting NIL money. And Deion was able to secure bags for some of the players. The homecoming. Everyone talks about Howard homecomings for HBCUs. I saw videos and pictures and everything about Jackson State University homecoming. There were quite a few people going to the homecoming. I can't think of the woman that has she's got the child by the Charlotte Hornets player, PJ Washington. Can't think of her name.
Brittany Renner or something like that.
Brittany Renner. That's it. Brittany Renner. So Brittany Renner, Deion brought Brittany Renner in to talk to the players.
Is Brittany. I know last name is Renner.
No, no, that's it. That's it. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, okay.
I believe it's Brittany Renner. He brought Brittany Renner in to talk to the players about groupies and what to look for and what to stay away from. So Deion is educating the players on and off the field. So very impactful in his time there. The one thing I will say, the other thing I'll say about Deion is he never shortchanged the program. You know, some people are, they, even if they're looking for an, if they're looking for an opportunity, they may be half-hearted in terms of the efforts they're giving, given the circumstances that they're looking to go elsewhere. That was never the case. You got to remember that Deion was down in Mississippi where the water was bad. They had brown water, and players were, they had to shower and bathe at the college in the pools. That's how some of them were bathing.
Kev.
Yes.
Deion didn't, was not participating in any brown water. He had that Brett Favre tap. Hey. He called in a couple of times to Brett Favre, like, hey, man, I heard your water a little different, man. Let me tap you.
But in the midst of, let's not forget, Ubon, you went to HBCU.
Yeah, the HBCU that's about to kick Jackson State's ass on the 17th.
I went to an HBCU for 1 year. HBCUs are all located in the same part of the city.
The hood.
The HBCUs are all surrounded by the projects.
Across the street.
This is a fact. Projects. Yeah, this is a fact. And Deion was in the midst of all of this and took his children there. Had his children at this HBCU. So
think somebody stole
his car
jewelry and some shit like that during the game one time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, broken his car. That's what it was.
Welcome to the hood, homie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but
so from those standpoints, you know, we're just, again, Ubang said it. We're just staying on the subject of the first question that you posed. So.
Yeah,
hella. I will go no further.
Hella impact. Okay. Hella impact.
Okay.
Hella
impact. Okay. So, great impact on the school. Did Deion Sanders do all that he could do for Jackson State University? I keep hearing a lot of people say that he did. He couldn't do no more, baby. What you want from him, baby? What you want? So, did he do all that he could do for Jackson State?
Let me tell you about niggas. There's two things about niggas. Two things about niggas. Niggas are never satisfied. They never satisfied. And then the second thing is, they're always forgiving. So, could he have done more? Yeah. But is Deion supposed to be the savior for all blacks, for HBCUs and the culture and college football? Is that his job? Are we holding him accountable to this? Because, I mean, personally.
Did he give the impression that that was part of his goal coming in?
He came in trumpeting himself as.
I asked the question. Or is this culture? Are we looking at it from a culture standpoint? Or are we looking at this from a business standpoint?
You have to look at it from both. So that's why I'm asking, though. It has elements of both. You can't discuss one without the other.
So
I think that's known.
Our culture is very lucrative, but we never seem to profit from it. And so in the case of Deion, He bought the culture, but they weren't paying him for the culture. And so he decided, Deion was getting $1 million a year?
Mm-mm, not even. He was getting $300,000.
What is he getting at Colorado now?
$5 million?
Colorado went on record to say is they didn't even have the money to pay him, that they're going to find the money. We're going to get the money. You know, Jerry Jones is going to give us the money, baby.
Okay. So wait. Hold on. So
okay. So
you're talking business. Wait. On that note, do you have to know a whole lot about it to know that Jackson State doesn't have as much money as a Colorado or any of these other programs? So wasn't that almost like a given if you're accepting a job at an HBCU? I mean, let's be real. You know you ain't getting as much money. Yeah. So you ain't going there for the money.
And he didn't need the money.
So tell me something.
So Deion didn't need the money.
Right.
To speak on his $300,000 that he was getting from Jackson State, he put half that money back into the school so that they could finish building and fixing up the football facilities. So the thing about HBCUs, the reason we cannot compete on a national and a global stage with PWIs is because all HBCUs, except for maybe your Howards, which is it's almost getting to the point where we might not even be calling it an HBCU anymore. They're underfunded. We don't have funding. And if you don't have funding at an HBCU for the educational part, we can't say, hey, man, let's sink $10 million into this football program when we can't pay the teachers to teach kids, you know, accounting 1 and 2. So, yeah, man, I went to an HBCU. Man, the experience was amazing. I'm born and raised in LA. I went down south to Carolina, to North Carolina Central University, my alma mater. And man, it was a hell of an experience, you know, to be around just black people, you know, around the clock. It felt so organic, you know. But
yeah,
I took classes at UNC Chapel Hill, and going on the campus, getting in the classes and actually interacting with other students, you can tell immediately there is like a light year, like there's light years of difference between my small HBCU and UNC Chapel Hill, right? And that was just one example of many, you know, Duke. So I'm at an HBCU and I go to Chapel Hill, a public school, UNC Chapel Hill, a public school, and they're light years ahead of us. Imagine where Duke, which is right up the street, a private institution, right? They would have been like the Jetsons. I came on a Duke's campus and got into a classroom, but like, hold on, man, y'all, why are y'all flying around the classroom in spaceships? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to bring my little bicycle or skateboard up here. So it's at the core of the problem is that it's these institutions are underfunded. And now that you have this NIL money going around, now that you can lure kids, the top kids, the 5 stars, the 4 stars with this NIL money, you can't get them to go to this underfunded program. Right. Deion Sanders was getting kids NIL deals. Deion Sanders was leveraging his own personal relationships to get these kids NILs. He got, he was using Barstool Radio and Under Armour. Those are all partnerships he has that he was leveraging to get a couple of kids some good money. But at the end of the day, they can't compete with a Caleb Williams comes to USC. He's on national national commercials, right? He's getting $5, $7, $8 million in NIL money. Jackson State can't offer you that. So, you know, it's Deion. You knew that coming in.
Right. That's what I'm asking. Did you know that? Right.
He hit us with the used car salesman lines. Hey man, this one right here is a beauty. Knowing good and well, they ain't did shit but change 2 tires on this motherfucker, give it an oil change. It still ain't moving like it's supposed to, all of the above. And you sold people on it. Like, you sold people on you was going to be here. You was going to build the culture. You was going to change the culture. And not only at Jackson State, but at HBCUs in general. And at the end of the day, we didn't even stick. And you know the fucked up part? I'm not even going to go on this tangent. But the most fucked up part is Prime didn't even stick around long enough to see if maybe they could compete against a bottom tier regular PWI, right?
Okay. Thank you for saying that. So I spoke to one of my boys, just really a real quick convo about the Deion shit when it first happened, and he was one of those folks who was like, "What more do you want him to do, man? He did all he can do, man. Like, he can't do no more, man." And I said, "Okay, well, what about this? What if he would have stayed, kept winning the SWAC, that just became one of those things, but beyond that, built the team to be one of those contenders to where the outside conference schedule, he's scheduling some SEC schools, some ACC schools, and knocking them off, right? Like, beating them, and it becomes a consistent thing. Then what? What do you say about Jackson State? Like, again, he didn't stay, to Ubong's point just now, he didn't stay long enough to even see that come to fruition or even make an attempt at scheduling one of those dudes or one of those teams to see if he could beat them and kind of pose that question of, well, shit, where do we rank Jackson State? Should they be top 25, top 10? Like, a different type of conversation.
And that's,
we didn't even get to that point.
That's the most disheartening part. At the end of the day, and I'm going to let you speak, Kev. At the end of the day, I'm never knocking anybody for getting their money. Right? It's the
right.
Like, you know, what DMX saying, Belly? Man, my kids can't eat no books, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need money. You feel me? Like, I get it. I'll never knock anybody for going after and going after their money, getting their bread, getting their money. It's the, you know, it's that money. You know, it just buys freedom, right? It buys you freedom to be able to move how you want to move, do what you want to do. It's not, you know, it's not the end all be all, but it buys you that freedom. So I can never knock anybody for getting their money, but bro, the job wasn't done. The job wasn't done. Now, we can all go into the psyche and what all went into Deion doing what he did. You know, some people say it was because he was trying to get his son at a bigger program to get him, to get him drafted in the NFL, right? Remember that he could ball out at Jackson State, but the scouts, the NFL teams, they're going to say, you know what? Your son did good at an HBCU where the talent wasn't as great. But what he's doing now, he's bringing his son with him. He's going to be the starting quarterback at a Pac-12, a top Power 5 school, right? A Power 5 conference, a school at a Power 5 conference. He's going to have a starting quarterback there.
Let's be clear. They are the Houston Texans
of
the Pac-12. Okay?
He already put things in place with his son. His son has an NIL deal with TB12. He has an NIL deal with Tom Brady. His son has been training with Tom Brady since he was in high school. Another personal relationship that I'm assuming Tom Brady and Deion Sanders, both Under Armour athletes or whatever, probably forced some type of relationship. And his son has been working with Tom Brady since he was in high school. So you're leveraging that relationship. You're going to thrust him on the big stage, and trust and believe, Deion Sanders is going to work the fuck out of that transfer portal. You know, he's bringing his boy, the five star that went to Jackson State, Homer.
Did you see his interview? Uh-uh. Where he addressed the Colorado players, University of Colorado.
Oh yeah, He told them niggas. He told them niggas hit the portal quick.
Yeah, he said. I got about 10 dogs. Yeah. I'm bringing with me, and they all gonna eat. Like, he wastes no time. Yeah.
Hey, when his son is the starting quarterback, it was like, then he called himself like, you know, he's going to have to earn it. He's going to have to earn it. His son going to be the motherfucking starting quarterback.
The next day.
Might as well keep it real. But let's be real. That shit happens.
Somebody needs to hurry up and go ahead and hit that portal, man. He said, Prime, what did he say? He said, Prime is here and I brought some luggage with me. And it's Louis. Hey, right. Man, listen, I can't knock it. That's the thing. That's the swag, though. That's the swag.
But that's the part that I'm like, okay, Joy Taylor said it very well. I don't know if I will say best because I haven't heard everybody speak on it, but she said, you can be happy and disappointed about this move at the same time. Because if you look at all of the stuff you just said about what he's doing or about to be doing at Colorado, motherfuckers do this all the time. Like, it's about who you know, and then you bring on your people with you. Like, he's bringing... The head coach from Mississippi Valley is on his coaching staff now. So now if you try to look at it big picture, you could say, okay, well, he's got a position at Colorado now. He brought another HBCU coach with him. Once the Colorado program, if they turn it around and do well, now that guy, the HBCU coach from Mississippi Valley State, will now also have possibly an opportunity to be a head coach at a school at a Power Five conference or something like that. It's a possibility. And his name, by the way, is Vincent Darcy. I don't want to keep saying the Mississippi Valley head coach. But the question I have with that is, so if Deion does this, brings on some new folks, promotes his son, brings his Louis luggage, travels, you know, with his folks, builds the program, turns Colorado around, does that mean that the HBCU will always be an afterthought? Because are there any personalities like a Deion Sanders that y'all think could do the same thing at a Jackson State?
Football, no. There are not. Not the combination of his swag, his knowledge and understanding, his achievements and accomplishments at the pro level, what he did on NFL Network, just the relationships, the understanding, the business savvy, absolutely not. Not in the football world.
No. Deion Sanders coaching at Jackson State is the equivalent of Michael Jordan coaching at
the Wizards, coaching the Washington Wizards.
Like,
to the Washington Wizards.
No. at Ohio State or something like that, right? It's the equivalent of Michael Jordan coming to a HBCU and coaching. Like, I'll equate it to something real that actually happened. When Michael Jordan went and played minor league baseball, this is the equivalent. Nobody has ever fucking heard of the Chicago Barons, the minor league Chicago White Sox team, until Michael Jordan got there. And now every fucking camera in the city is pulling up because Michael Jordan's here. And when he left, the Barons rode off into the motherfucking sunset, and we never heard from them again. That's the equivalent to Deion Sanders at Jackson State coming and going, because the spotlight he shined on them, it was great. And once he leaves, it'll be gone. Like, he was billed as the savior of the program. Like, and he was about to build some other shit. Like, you got Hugh Jackson coming down and coaching at Grambling State. You got Eddie George coming down. Where's he at? It might have been TSU, right? Tennessee State.
I think it is Tennessee State, but let's see.
Tennessee State. That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the ticker's still working, man. Okay. But so Eddie George over at Tennessee State, like, you had people coming to these programs, but none like Prime. But if you got Prime and then you get these other coaches, and I know there was talk about maybe like Ed Reed coming down and possibly coaching the HBCU and all these other guys. But once he's gone, it's like the shine is off the new toy. Like, we don't give a fuck anymore. And I think Bomani Jones essentially said that Deion sold it as he was, you know, God sent him to the program to be the savior. And he came to a black, come on, man. You know how the black community is with church. Nigga, don't come over here telling us that God sent you over here to do some shit for you to get on, get your shit on, and then leave. Because if we all recall, originally, Deion Sanders, before any of this, before he ever even stepped into the college coaching, where was his name tied to? The Florida State job.
Yeah.
And they passed up on him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Bomani says that
right.
Deion basically wanted to be a coach, and he knew that if he went to any PWI, they wouldn't have allowed him to be a head coach right off the rip. They would have made him come in as like an assistant. And he said, fuck that, I'm not being anybody's assistant. So he essentially used the HBCU, Jackson State, as a stepping stone. They'll let me come on as a head coach. I'm fucking prime. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm prime time. Like, motherfucker, you would be honored to have me on as a head coach. And I'm going to use you. You guys going to use me. It's going to work for both parties. And after I get on with you, I'm going to bounce and take this better job. And keep in mind, are we watching? A lot of the top tier jobs still weren't offered to him. He got to go from the HBCU to a Power 5 team.
Right. And that's where, so I was getting ready to ask you guys, I'm glad you started leading that way, because I saw that Bomani Jones, I saw when he was speaking about it. He also talked about Deion Sanders when he started his prep academy for the youth. Right. So even before he stepped into coaching, you know, on the college level, he was with the prep kids, with his sons and all that stuff down there. And it wasn't no buzz even then about him coaching at no programs like that, you know. Even given his stature and his name and all of that stuff. So did he use Jackson State, or was Jackson State using Deion Sanders? Who used who, or was it we're using each other? Was it a mutual thing, or do you think it was a situation where Jackson State is blindsided by this from Deion, or should they have expected, just like we're saying, hey, Deion, you knew what it was. You knew they didn't have money like that. Should Jackson State have looked at it as, we know who Deion is. We know he ain't going to stay here for no damn 10 years. Like, what do y'all think? Who's using who? Did anybody use anybody?
This was a fair exchange, no robbery. Both sides benefited from this. Jackson State benefited greatly from this. Now, will they be salty after Deion leaves? Yeah. Because he's still going to be prime, and he's still going to have success, and they have to find a successor to replace him. And that's going to be very difficult. So if the successor comes in and loses one game next year, he didn't do what Deion did, because Deion went undefeated this past year.
So if, with that being said, though, is that truly a benefit?
Right. So Let me put it in relationship terms. Deion Sanders treated Jackson State like a side chick. Right? But there's two ways that you can handle that situation. Deion Sanders chose to lie to her. Okay? So Jackson State was never had a chance of keeping Deion Sanders long term. He wasn't looking for a long term relationship. He was just looking, I'm not here for a long time. I'm just here for a good time, not a long time, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just here for a good time, not a long time. But he had Jackson State believing that, nah, man, I see the family. I see the house, the white picket fence. Like, I can see it. You feel me? And so, of course, when Deion packed his bags, I'm like, yo, yeah, man, it's not going to work out. Hold on. I did everything you asked. You know what I mean? Breakfast. I cooked your dinner. I rubbed your feet. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Deion was like, nah, well, I got this other little thing. And she looked better than you. I'm gone. It would have been different had Deion treated, okay, Jackson State is a side chick. That's not going to change. It was never going to change. Jackson State was always going to be the side chick. But Deion, you had an opportunity to tell this side chick, like, listen, man, I got a girl at home. No, hold on. Hold on. Let me.
Okay.
I got a girl. Okay. I got this other little thing that I got. And if this thing cook up, yeah, we might be getting married. But in the meantime, let's enjoy the night. Let's enjoy tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here. We might still be fucking around 2 weeks from now, a month from now, a year from mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. but I'm not making no guarantees. Okay. Now, mm-hmm. if your mm-hmm. side chick, hold on now. Mm-hmm. Let me wrap it up. Let me pick it up. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day now, if your side chick is still salty after you gave her, you laid it all out on the table. Hey, man, I'm playing poker. You know, cards up. No, hey, I'm playing blackjack, cards up. I ain't got nothing to lie about. You see my cards, they on the table. And she's still salty after that? That's on her. That's on her.
Well said, Reverend Ata. Preach.
Come on, man.
Ata-ta.
You getting back some of that church's money, baby. Them donation plates.
Hey, I'm passing around the collection plate right there.
So, Ubang, I had a question.
Yeah.
You usually have a chick first before you have a side chick, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm about to debunk this because knowing Prime didn't have any other thing cooking, but Jackson State, he didn't have no side chick. Jackson State was his chick.
So
he was only his chick.
Nah.
So Deion
was never his chick.
He didn't have nothing on the side.
That was his chick.
So Chris Rock said this, man, in the movie, I Think I Like My Wife, which is, you know, Chris Rock says some very profound stuff. He called this thing the power of the halves, right? So however long you've been in a relationship, divide it by two, and that's how long you've been trying to get out of the relationship. So in the case of Deion, being at Jackson State, he was there for 3 years. So really, he was trying to get out of this relationship for a year and a half. He just didn't let us see it. But Jackson State knew. Jackson State understood that something wasn't right.
In which way, though? In which way did they know? Did they know in the way that Deion Sanders was saying, hey, man, I ain't going to be here? And he let them know that behind the scenes? Or did they assume in the way of Deion Sanders and his stature, he ain't going to be here? Like I just asked y'all, is it like, we know who he is, so we don't really expect him to stay
here?
It was a
little bit of both.
Nah.
They had the notion. No, hold on. They had the notion of he's Deion. He's not going to stay here forever. They had that notion. Then there was the other thing where Deion was probably subtly complaining to the school about different things,
or in the comments. I ain't swack. How am I not swack? Again, the other coaches saw it. Eddie Robinson Jr. saw it. He knew he wasn't swack. You start talking to some of the other coaches in the SWAC, they probably knew it too. Like, this nigga ain't gonna be here. So,
nah.
Everybody in the circle knew.
Nah, okay. Okay. What to you then is SWAC?
To me?
Or what do you think to them is SWAC? If you're saying that they knew he wasn't, what do you think they think is?
A person that is going to be a college coach within that conference for the long haul, that plans on having a long tenure, whether it's 10 to 15 to 20 years within that program, within the culture of SWAC, within
this
that
nigga
conference.
Deion is 55, so you asking him to ride out into the golden years?
Absolutely.
Basically, yeah.
Absolutely.
So typically,
if you SWAC, okay.
So typically, when you have coaches at HBCUs, it's not always, but a lot of time, they're HBCU alumni, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Lavelle Moulton at North Carolina Central University head men's basketball coach. He not only went to Central, he played at Central. So for him to come back and coach Central, right, they going to be like, yo, like this is family. They looked mm-hmm. at Deion as an outsider. Like, nigga, even when you was on, you wasn't fucking with us. You went to Florida State. I would look at somebody, you know, and this is, I'm speaking on as like somebody from the school. Like, I would look at Shannon Sharp, who went to an HBCU. If he comes back and coaches at an HBCU, you're not going to get the same back talk because they feel like that's family.
He's swag.
Yeah, right. Well, Savannah State might be swag. Yeah, they might be. But
no, they're not. No, Savannah State's not in the SWAC.
It's not.
But
NEAC.
Yeah, they would still give him a pass.
What I'm saying is he would be respected by a coach that's an HBCU coach because he has that, you know, that background, that upbringing, that lineage that's connected to HBCU. Like I said, with Deion. And to go back to my relationship analogy, Deion never let on that this could end today. Baby, I'm just here having a good time. We go to the movies. We come back to your place. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We roll around in the covers a little bit, do a little something here, a little razzle dazzle. But I'm not saying that I'm taking you home to meet my mom. I'm not saying I'm putting the ring on your finger. I'm not saying start looking at for apartments and houses. I'm just telling you we can go to the movies, kick it, come back to the crib, drink a little something, smoke a little something, roll around. And I might have to get going. That's how. But if he would have just at any point in time, if he would have done that or said that or made that clear, I think people would have respected him more when he left. But Deion, he was in character the entire time. Deion was in character the entire time. He's on. And again, ain't no other HBCUs had the cameras rolling like Jackson State. They playing Young Dolph in the locker room, Gilly the Kid and them on the sideline, everybody coming out there. It was like a part, even last year when they went to the Celebration Bowl, the bowl that they going to on the 17th of this year, and North Carolina Central going to give his ass a ceremonious exit about the motherfucking HBCU family. They went to that shit last year against South Carolina State, and it was in the A, and they had a concert before the game. Migos out there. All the Atlanta rappers is out there. Everybody bigging them up. Right? Because the show was Jackson State. They came out there, got their asses handed to them. Mm-hmm. South Carolina State beat the shit out of them. But everybody was there for Jackson State. Everybody was there for Deion Sanders. They probably packed more people in that stadium than they ever have in that Celebration Bowl. And this year, I don't even know what it's going to look like this year because, you know, had he not announced that he was leaving to go to Colorado, I know the A would have been crazy on Saturday. But now that he's gone, it took a little bit of shine off of it. It's not going to be the same. I think he said he's going to coach. He's going to coach the game.
He's coaching.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's not even going to, like, how your guys going to, like I told you. Hey, North Carolina Central, remember how Uncle Phil used to throw Jazz out the house? Deion, we're going to send your ass back to Colorado. Straight like that. Nah, believe that, bro.
What I would like to see, what I hope Deion is telling his players is this. Look, I'm not going to be here next year. The cameras will be rolling. This is your chance to audition.
Ain't going
to
work.
To get into the transfer portal and go somewhere else and play if you see that as a viable option.
That's what you hope he's telling him? So wait a minute. Whoa, wait. Are we advocates of trying to
decimate,
promote improvement of the SWAC, or are you just dismantling it? This dude has jumped ship, so everybody else.
No, what I'm saying. Do is it this. Too. No, what I'm saying is this. I'm saying they may be in there bitter and not wanting to play for him, and I hope he's saying something to the effect that the cameras are rolling. All eyes are going to be on them, watching them play, whether they want to transfer. I use the word transfer. Whether they want to stay. Ultimately, all eyes are going to be on them because the game is going to be televised, and they're going to be watching to see if Deion wins the game. In the midst of that,
this is your time to shine. If you come to me as a player with that bullshit and I already know you're leaving, you're gone, like, what is your speech worth, homie? Like, it really doesn't matter. This is one game. You trying to win this one game here? You trying to give me a hype speech over this one game and then you gone? You really don't care about winning this game or not. It ain't no skin off of your back whether you win or lose. You're gone. You're no longer invested in Jackson State. And you can't even I don't see how you can convince those kids that you are for one game. Or we going to ride out for this one game. What?
Like, man, get your ass up out of here. You got a keychain on talking about we about to ride out.
Right. Come on, man. So, wait, a couple, you know, we like to keep the information in the facts rolling on here when we drop stuff. So y'all said a few things. So by the way, Savannah State Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference is where they play. Ubong, I want to back up though, because you made some good points earlier about basically the funding of HBCUs. So, you know, folks have been tracking the endowments, the HBCU endowments, and basically, you know, alumni giving back and all that kind of stuff. So we talked about Tennessee State. I think we were talking about that's where Eddie George is coaching. So the Tennessee Tribune actually put out an article. This is back in March of this year, so earlier this year. And they were talking about the difference between the PWI and the HBCU endowment gap. So at the time of that article, they were saying the gap stands at a staggering 121-1. So basically, if there is $1 million that would be donated to an HBCU, there's $121 million that's donated to a PWI. That is a huge and insurmountable
DP.
Yes.
If we needed any evidence of what you just said, let's look no further than Jackson State could only pay Deion Sanders $300,000.
Hold on.
He goes to Colorado, and Colorado says, we don't have the money right now, but hold on, give us 1 second. We about to go get your $5 million. We about to call up some boosters right now and man. Tell them to drop the money in the account. Come on, man. You talk about a flex.
That's crazy.
They say we ain't even got your money yet, but give us 2 weeks. We about to get on the phone with some billion-dollar boosters, and we going to have your money for you in a couple weeks. Come on.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
That's crazy.
We're going to call Jerry Jones. Tell him you're here. Tell him you took the bait so that he's out of the media. Nobody's talking about that picture.
And again,
he's going to drop that cash. And in 5 years from now, don't be surprised if there's a Sanders wearing a Dallas Cowboys uniform or on the sideline coaching for the Dallas Cowboys.
And again, though, Colorado isn't his final destination.
No, that's not even where he wants to be. By the way, before we go into that top three, as far as endowments go, HBCUs, you got Howard, Spelman, Hampton.
So, the usual suspects.
You know,
I
said that because you admit, yes, because you admit.
Like, the motherfuckers, but, like, only donate. Like, whenever you talk about, like, oh, man, we're going to donate some money to a HBCU. Who should we donate? Oh, yeah, Howard. Like those guys over there at Howard. Yeah. Over in the D.C. area.
Right.
Yeah.
Deion's slick, though, man. Deion's going to, because he's going to Colorado, which they're the doormats of the Pac-12. He gets USC and UCLA for one season. So he gets to play them. Then they leave. And he has the chance to ultimately be a contender in that Pac-12 conference that's decimated because everybody's jumping ship.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yes.
When does that change happen? When does SC and UCLA leave?
The 2023-2024 season.
Okay. So how long would y'all say Deion Sanders is going to stay in Colorado? Because Ubang just said that's not his final destination. I don't think so either. How long do you think he will stay in Colorado?
3 to 4 years.
3 to 4, Ubang?
I was going to say about 3 to 5. And
3 to 5.
And
okay.
Remember, USC was a doormat. Not a doormat. I ain't going to say that last year. But they weren't great. They get Lincoln Riley. He gets Caleb Williams in the transfer portal, who he had coached at Oklahoma. And by the way, I don't know if motherfuckers seen Caleb Williams play this year. That motherfucker is Patrick Mahomes. And in 1 year, they go from middle of the pack to one win away from being in the college playoffs. They lost 2 games to Utah. First one they lost, it was
Utah smacked in the second.
The first game they lost by 1 point. It was Utah decided at the end of the game they tied the game up. They scored a touchdown to bring them within one. Instead of going for the extra point, they went for two, and they beat them in regulation by 1 point. This second game, SC is rolling. They are about to steamroll Utah. Caleb Williams pulls his, I think he pulls his hamstring, and now the mobility factor went away, and then Utah just shut the door on him. But they were one win away from making it to the Final Four of the college football playoffs with one of the historically worst defenses in NCAA history. No. USC's defense ranked in the hundreds
of the
NCAA. They were terrible, which means that
couldn't stop anybody.
This quarterback was basically
can't stop a nosebleed.
Was willing you guys to wins on his arm and his legs. So if Deion can get the talent, he can turn that program around. And only won one game last year. He could turn them around in one season because of this transfer.
Okay. So, he can turn him around within one season. You expect him to stay 3 to 5. Kevin, you expect him to stay three to four. Okay, let's meet it in the middle. Let's say he stays 4. Okay. Impact greater, 4 years at Colorado, or 4 more years at Jackson State?
Impact greater,
4 more years at Jackson State. You're talking about if Deion stays at Jackson State for 4 more years?
If he stays at Jackson State, is his impact greater?
Yes.
Than the 4 years he's going to stay in Colorado?
Absolutely. Because if he stays at Jackson State, he pulls more five-star talent each year. So he's pulling more five-star recruits, and he's helping bring money to an HBCU that's already underfunded. So yes, impact is greater. Colorado's got a surplus of money. They could tap in and continuously get money. All they got to do is make a phone call. They showed that. So,
and yeah, I agree. And I don't know how, if he stayed 4 years, was he going to be able to get a bunch of five stars? The more I think about it, and this is with obviously no inside information, if he knew, right, you said if he was in a relationship with Jackson State for 3 years, he was trying to get out for a year and a half. If he knew and he was trying to get out for a year and a half, I believe that, what's the five-star he pulled? What the fuck was this dude's name? Travis, either way, he probably told this kid, hey, man, shoot to Jackson State with me for a year. I'm going to put some money in your pockets.
Hunter.
Travis Hunter, right?
Mm-hmm. Travis Hunter.
Okay. I'm going to put a little money in your pockets, and when I bounce, you coming with me. So if he sold him on that, you can't really just go, and you're not going to be able to sell five-star recruits, especially when five stars are the ones that are going to be getting the NIL money. Like Deion, you ain't got enough. You don't have enough relationships, and there's not enough going on in Jackson, Mississippi, for you to be able to turn five stars like that. You know, and again, my biggest thing, football, is won in the trenches, and you can go to HBCUs and find NFL talent at the specialty positions, receivers, running backs, people like that, where athletics or athleticism is key. You'll never get the trenches. You'll never get the offensive lineman. You'll never get the big 300 pounder from Wisconsin, or the big 300 pounder from middle America that wants to go to Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio State, that wants to go to these Notre Dame, like all these big time schools. That's where, if you ever watch, HBCU football, that's where you struggle a lot. You don't have like the big boys in the middle. That's where the game is being lost.
True. But they are scattered around the HBCUs. Now, is there the possibility that they are now more attracted to come to Jackson State to build more of a powerhouse and not so much be scattered around? So will you basically pull not just talent from the portal and all that stuff, but will you also attract the cream of the crop that would have gone to other HBCUs?
I got, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I want to ask this too, because he got the kid, what's his name, Winston Watkins. To your point, another receiver at a skill position. He's the number one recruit overall. He just got him to commit to Colorado. Do you think he was going to have him in Jackson State anyway?
No.
You know what I mean? Because it's got to be a relationship he has with Deion Sanders anyway.
And that's what I'm saying. Deion was already, when he was talking to recruits, they said that his team, the people that were with Deion Sanders, they were telling recruits a couple months ago, like, hey, we're not going to be here. So, do with that information what you will. But, we shooting to Colorado. And I wonder what's going to happen with old Mike Zimmer.
Yeah,
like, man, get
he's stuck.
Hey.
I think he shook already. He shook. I think he's going with Deion.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. They have him listed as a possibility of being added to his staff, so it's probably gonna happen.
Mike Zimmer, like, man, I love the chicks. a little cocoa in my coffee.
Right. So another question for y'all before we roll out. Choice of school. Now, it's almost like this was some sort of an audition for the bigger programs and the bigger jobs. So now we see, hey, you can do it at the collegiate level. You can take a program and build and do all the things that's necessary, from recruiting to landing the big kids, you know, the new changes and the nuances of just the NCAA period, working the portal, all that kind of stuff. So hey, you can do that. You can do that, Dion. We're a believer now, baby. So now it's like you are choosing where you want to go out of other options. I'm sure Colorado wasn't the only one, right? I don't know which other ones he had, but in choosing Colorado,
Cincinnati and
okay,
and it was one other school, but they were all kind of that. It was said that of all three schools, Colorado was the worst one.
Okay, so that's where I'm going, and it wasn't Florida State or anywhere like that, right? No. So. And out of the schools that he had the option of picking, Colorado was the worst one. So in making this move, am I strategically making the safe bet by choosing a Colorado over somewhere else? As Deion, if I'm in Deion Sanders' shoes, because, hey, man, you can't do worse unless you just don't win a game at all. These motherfuckers won one game, right? So if he comes in and wins five, it's still looking like, hey, it's a building process. So did he, was it a safe bet also?
It was strategic.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. I don't know if it was necessarily safe.
It was strategic.
But, yeah.
And that was twofold. I think it was twofold. So on one level, like you said, you have a team that only won one game. So if you come in and you improve on that, everybody's, you know, calling you the second coming. And then also, man, I still can't get over his son, right? The other two teams weren't Pac-12 teams. You get to put your son in at a Pac-12 program. And you know the Pac-12, of all the Power 5 schools, they're like the most finesse. Like, they're known for being the most finesse, the most pass happy. You see now you got Caleb Williams at USC. You got Dorian, what's my man at UCLA, the black quarterback at UCLA.
Yeah, I think he's done though, right? He's a senior.
Is he?
Yeah, I think – is he a senior? I think he's a senior.
Dorian Thompson, I think his name is.
Yeah, Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR.
He's a senior?
Man, I want to say he's a senior.
And even if he is, I think UCLA got another
kid. Yeah, he's a senior.
They got another black quarterback coming in from, I think, from Inglewood. That's supposed to be a beast.
Okay.
That's That's going to UCLA. So you got, you know, a finesse, a conference that's known for being finesse, airs it out, opens it up, and the defenses, you know, are the same. They're going to let you open it up. They're going to make you look good. So his son's going to get an opportunity to come out here against, I just told you, USC had 100, like their shit was ranked it was less than 100 in the nation, their defense. So you get to showcase your son's skill set against some of the worst defenses. You know, UCLA USC game ended up being like a 50 something to 40 something game. What kid wouldn't want to come play quarterback in that conference? You know,
right?
And you get to see all the eyes on you. Your dad is Deion Sanders, so I think on two levels he was really out there doing it strategically. And you know, Deion's gonna come off as this brash, you know, with this bravado and all this other stuff, but he's a smart dude. Deion Sanders has probably mapped this thing out 5, 6, 7 steps ahead. So,
and 5 wins in that conference. Let's kind of break some shit down too. But 5 wins in that conference is doable, right? You right above them. They weren't the only one win team as far as the conference goes. Arizona State only won two. You know, they shipped Herm Edwards out of there. Now they only won two games. Edwards
make it off the damn field.
Yeah, and now they own
the end zone. Like,
right.
Yes. No.
This is where it ends, baby. This is where it ends.
you gotta take a shower at the hotel across the street, baby.
Right, that's how they end.
So, they won two. Cal won, and this is in conference, right? But Colorado just won one game in and out of conference. That's just terrible. So they were 1-11 overall, 1-8 in the conference. Stanford is 1-8 in the conference. Arizona State 2-7. Cal 2-7. Arizona 3-6. I mean, come on. Washington State 4-5. Like, they got
some action.
Tussle with some motherfuckers at the bottom of that, you know, the bottom of that conference.
The last time that they had a winning record was in 2016. Mike McIntyre was the coach. They went 10-4 and lost in the Alamo.
Hey, look,
Alamo Bowl. They also had a winning record in 2020, but you know that was the COVID year. They went 4-2, and they also lost in the Alamo Bowl. But
that's all they're getting is hand them the Alamo.
Send them to Texas. Yeah.
Hey, look. Hey, I was about to say the last time they was relevant was with Cordell Stewart.
I had to look it up because that's what I was thinking. I was like, damn.
Like, damn, have they won since Cordell Stewart?
That's what But, I mean, whew. Since 2016 when they were 10-4, you have to go back to 2005 when they were 7-6. Mm. Like, they haven't been good for quite some time.
Like Baker Mayfield coming to the Cleveland Browns. Hey, man, you mean we won 0 games last year? Oh, sweet.
Only up from here, baby. Only up from here. Hey, so mad at the move, okay with the move, pleased with the move of Deion Sanders.
I'm okay with the move. And I'm okay with the move because, again, I know that the culture – we don't benefit off the sale of our culture. It's not us. We bring the culture, but we don't get paid for our culture, i.e. the movie Black Panther made by Walt Disney. They're getting paid for this culture, but we're not getting paid for it. So, I mean, I'm not mad. Ultimately,
my nigga Kevin Dunn went from Deion to Wakanda.
Hey, man. Ultimately, Deion has to look out for Deion and his children. And he's got to put them in a position to succeed. And by putting him into a pass-happy conference that is mediocre right now, when you start looking at the breakdown of all the teams, he's got a chance to be a pro. And that's what you want.
In regards to, you know, like, move, I understand the move. So, you know, it's like I said, I'll never knock anybody going to get their money. And I think it's bigger than money for Deion. Deion don't need the money. But it's bigger than money. I think the money was more of a respect thing. Like, you know, put a little respect on my name. And with that, Kev said that everybody wants the culture, but, you know, they don't pay us for the culture. I think a lot of the bigger programs were afraid of how Deion, the swag, the culture would be accepted at their program, how it would be seen by their boosters. And I think that's why he didn't get offers for any of the bigger jobs. It's not that you can see that he's a leader of young men and he can make it work, but I think the culture don't get it twisted. Old white America is still scared of the culture, you know, and if they can't see how they're going to benefit or how they're going to profit off of the culture right away, you got to sell them on it. So Deion is still mm-hmm. selling. He's about to sell the next job on how he can build this hip hop culture that everybody's going to be okay with and everybody's going to love to be around while he's at Colorado. He went to a Colorado where, you know, it's liberal. They got the weed is legal out there. So they're a little bit more progressive, you know, with the thinking. The thinking, they're more progressive, right? So they'll allow Deion to get away with a little bit of the swag, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I understand his move. I respect
Don't come in here with the bullshit, Deion. This is Buffalo shit round here.
But remember, so because when I say the culture, they want the culture, and the culture, you know, is lucrative. It's just not lucrative for us. Look at Pete Carroll when he was at USC. And look at how the culture was there. So you had Snoop Dogg in the locker room constantly. You had the hip hop culture there.
It's still there.
Snoop was also feeding USC with a bunch of players from his league too. So there's a connection there.
But yeah, Snoop Dogg is a big USC fan, and again, Snoop Dogg has still been at the USC program. But because they haven't been winning, we don't get to go inside there and see. Nobody cares if you're not winning, right?
Right.
They're still getting rappers, and it's an LA school. They're still getting all the big names to come in there and talk. Denzel, whoever you want to, like, man, you name
it. Dr. Dre got his buildings and shit over there.
Yeah, like, the vibes is still there. The culture is still there. Trust and believe. But if you're not winning, we don't care. Why? If Deion turns his program around, they are going to be banging his door down to get Deion to be at one of these top programs, Auburn, fucking Florida State, or one of those programs down there in Florida. I'm telling you, man, that's why I'm not mad at him. I respect it.
Next stop is the Dallas Cowboys, man.
Nah.
Jerry ain't no, probably not.
Yeah.
Okay, look, because we've been going for a minute, a couple more things before we do bounce. So does this show you then that it's basically still the goal is to land a job in the white institution versus build up your own shit? Is that still the ultimate goal for the heavy hitters, so to speak, the outsiders or whoever you want to say? Because apparently the people who are, it depends on what you want to do with the swag, right? Do you want to keep it as a wholesome home thing where we love our kind, and if you ain't swag, you ain't really welcome? Or do you want to build the swag up to where it is a, you know, it's no longer an afterthought when you think of the grand scheme of things. So is the goal still for the heavy hitters to, even if they do go to a SWAC program, they still, the trajectory is I'm trying to get to where Deion got to or follow that type of path?
I think each person is different. If it were me in that position, the goal is to be paid. Ultimately, you want to coach talent. You want to have nice facilities. You want to have those things. So I could see how a PWI would be more appealing because of that, because of the budget that they allocate to athletics and the pot of the pool of talent that you're able to attract. I understand that, but ultimately for me, it would be about getting paid. So if a HBCU could pay me, let's say, $3 million, and the PWI was offering me $4 million, then it, to me, that's pretty similar. I would go to the HBCU if it were me in that situation.
But if you're only getting 10% of the offer,
like 3 million versus 300,000, you're going to the PWI.
Yes.
Ubang.
I'd say it's really about like what are you in it for? Like it makes a difference. Like Kev said, if it's about the money, that's one thing. But it's a rhetorical question I'm gonna ask you to get to my point. But how many head coaches at a HBCU program do you think would actually be given an opportunity to be a head coach at a PWI? Most HBCU coaches,
Deion Sanders.
I got it. Most HBCU coaches leave HBCUs for better HBCUs. But if they're going to be on the head coaching, be a head coach, they have to stay in that HBCU circle or maybe go to like a Division II or like a smaller PWI. I've never seen a situation. Maybe I'm wrong, and I just haven't done enough research. I have never seen a situation where they pulled a head coach from an HBCU and told him, "Hey, go coach this Power Five school." It doesn't happen. So, like, even posing the question is not even a legitimate question because
no, it is because the first part was, do you keep this culture of you ain't swag unless you from the swag, or do you allow the outsiders to come in and build the program up? Like, obviously the folks who are HBCU, they ain't done it yet, right?
Right.
They haven't brought the swag to a level of where it's not an afterthought. Remember, I asked that part. Do you want it to be to where the swag is not an afterthought, or do you want it to be where it's like, this is the swag, and if you ain't swag, get the hell on? Like, what do you want?
Regardless of what anybody said, any coach that disrespected Deion Sanders while he was there, I'll tell you this. At an HBCU, I'm sure, looking it up, that when Deion Sanders got there, the admissions and the number of applications they were getting for people that wanted to actually attend Jackson State probably shot through the roof. It makes a huge difference. Kids want to go there. Kids want to be there because Deion Sanders is there. So nobody's going to say, nah, hell no, let's keep this shit in-house. Let's keep this shit small. Like, no, if you can build up my university, if you can put us on a stage nationally, globally, like if I can make the news, if I can make whatever, for whatever reason, it doesn't even have to be for anything coaching. I went to North Carolina Central University. I want to get recognition. And you hear me say that shit all the time. Like, nigga, when y'all going to give us our just due? When y'all going to put us on the big screen? When y'all going to motherfucking say that these niggas got some shit going on down here that y'all got to see about? Like, so ain't anybody that's
sitting here. We said the same thing about Moton.
Right. Anybody that sit here and say that they don't want the program to get bigger and to get recognition for any reason whatsoever is lying. Like, I don't want to continue to stay in this small, like, I want my thing, you know, to branch out and become bigger and get more eyes on it and have more kids that want to come to this program. So you should wish to have somebody like Deion come to your program and build it up and build it out. Lavelle Moton was
Jackson State,
right? Lavelle Moton was a unique kind of situation because he was a student at North Carolina Central. He played at North Carolina Central. He went back as an assistant at North Carolina Central. Then he got the coaching job. Then he worked his way up, built relationships with Duke, made it to the USA national team. as an assistant coach. Like, he did all his shit, like, through literally grinding it out. But at the end of the day, the goal, even though it was to stay, was to put more eyes on the program. This year, we already played on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, we played Marquette. The basketball program, North Carolina Central, played Marquette. We lost 78-90, but we contended with Marquette. On next Tuesday, we play LSU. Come on, man. That's hard. Like, you don't think that he was begging for, like, yo, bro, give us some games. Give us some real big-time games. So back-to-back, you get Marquette, LSU. Like, but every program ain't getting that.
And they opened the season against Virginia.
Right. So you feel what I'm saying, though? Like, but it took time to get to that point where they can actually give you that recognition. And a lot of these programs ain't getting that, and they would die for it, bro. So anybody that says that they wouldn't take what Deion was bringing, even if it was for a short period of time, I guarantee you those kids that were there during the 3 years of Prime was there, they will forever remember that shit. Like, nigga, that shit was lit when Prime was there. 100,000 people come see a game type shit. Come on. In Jackson, Mississippi, who the fuck goes to Jackson? So I'm no disrespect to Jackson, Mississippi, but who the fuck goes to Jackson, Mississippi?
No, yeah. But again, Lavelle Moton is coming up on, I think this is his 13th year there.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's some coaching wise, that's some long term longevity type shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the stats on how long the coaches have been where and with what program for the football side of the game in the SWAC. But again, it just boils down to, man, where do you want it to go? Because is it a, I know you said Ubon Jackson, it's welcomed at Jackson State. Like, yeah, we want to build the program, but is the SWAC culture, the other coaches for the other programs, are they as welcoming? Because you had the Eddie Robinson Jr. coming at Deion, like Kevin said, because they knew he wasn't SWAC or knew he wasn't going to stay there. So then it's like, well, what do you really want? What's the ultimate goal for the conference, right? No. And I mean, you know, all the coaches meet and they discuss things for the conference, and you have the athletic director for all the schools, the ADs, and then you have the commissioners for the conferences. Now, I'm gonna end it like this, man. Y'all are the conference commissioner. You're the head of the entire SWAC,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Deion Sanders is exiting. Y'all gotta basically pitch to the SWAC where it's going from here. In just a brief short spiel, where is the SWAC going from here? You looking at Eddie Robinson Jr. in the face and the rest of the coaches and ADs. Where's the SWAC going from here?
We're going to try to figure out what coach we can bring in to Jackson State. We're going to see if we can bring another NFL player, former NFL player in to coach at Jackson State. We're also, what was the other coach that he took with him? From what school was that? Mississippi Valley?
Mississippi Valley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to look for a former NFL player that is looking to just get into the coaching realm. We're going to bring him into Mississippi Valley, and we're going to take former NFL players, and we're going to go in that direction. That way we can work to save money, because they know that we're dealing with a budget. We're in a deficit. We can't afford to pay him.
It's like I laughed at you just now.
Yeah. Hey, man, we can't afford to pay him. So this might feel like you're doing a lot of pro bono work, but I need you to come in. I need you to come in here and turn water into wine.
Man. Mississippi Valley might have been looking for another coach anyway. They was 2-9 overall.
So that's
a sad thing. They weren't. They were content with that. He had job security in the SWAC.
Whatever their sales pitch is going to be hard.
Hey, man, you're the commissioner. It's me and you right now.
Listen, hey, off the record, we got some big shoes to fill. That's what the fuck I'm going to tell them. I'll say, off the record, bro, we had a hell of a ride.
Did you enjoy it, baby?
Oh shit. Oh,
remember the times.
I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Shit, I'ma tell him we had a hell of a time, man. Shit. For real. But
it's over.
Hey, it was like seeing a shooting star, or you know, what's that shit? A lunar eclipse or some shit like that, man. You only get it.
Did you break out your camera? Did you have it ready? Did you miss it?
I missed it.
Oh, nigga.
I don't know how many different ways I could tell you. If we polled 10 years from now, any kid that went to school during the time that Deion Sanders was at Jackson State, they will. I wish we could get somebody that was there before he got there and then during his time there, and they would have told you.
They would have said, I was starting. Hey. I was on the bench.
I'm talking about just a regular student at the school. No, like, for real, like, life changed. Like, Deion Sanders literally changed life in Mississippi. It was like LeBron in Cleveland. Like, Deion Sanders probably boosted and injected life into the economy. Motherfuckers was, you know, restaurants that was barely hanging on was fucking getting it in, making it. he probably boosted the economy for 2 to 3 years because they were getting more people there and more traction through that city than they normally would. Now, all that shit goes back to normal. When LeBron left Cleveland for Miami, they said the businesses suffered. Like, they lost like 70% of their fucking income because LeBron James had that big of an impact. I think Deion did the same thing in Jackson State. So, you know, I'll never knock Deion for his actions, but I think the school is going to be picking up the pieces for years to come, though. Fuck it.
Jamarcus Russell, do you want a job? Jamarcus Russell, I know you out there, baby. If you listen and tap in, if you want a job. I know you're working at the high schools. He's working at the high schools in Alabama right now. You want to get in the college rankings? Go on, man. Jackson State needs you.
They'll be trapping for real. They'll be trapping.
What's up, y'all? Don't forget to follow us on IG and Twitter at 2Ps and a Bomb. That's